This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, I'll read verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. This morning we shall consider this parable, the parable of the hidden treasure. And an okay, Pastor Yashua, and some Kakafi, excuse me, some more Kafi, Abibu Semo, I fell on Japadi, a DSC, and I said, Japadi, a DSC, Obi, Official Japadi, yeah, Cotton Yoma, no way, yeah, or the Cotton, if you said, some was in Yoma, when yeah. So we are going to look at this hidden treasure which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in this parable. And we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, he spoke many things, and many things he spoke also in parables, in a way to teach the truth of his own gospel. And each of the parable has certain truth to tell us concerning his own gospel. Sometimes he interpreted it or he tried to explain it for his disciples to understand. Remember when he spoke about the test, Peter and the test, he broke it down and explained, and then we were able to understand what he was teaching. But yet each of the parables has their meaning from the scripture. As we learn them, we're able to see. So he adapted, normally he would adapt common life events, and then through it, he would teach the he used as a parable to teach the truth of the gospel. So what normally it is that it's just an event, but in it, as he's using it to demonstrate the truth of the gospel, we have many things to learn from them. So in this parable, we use it to teach the extraordinary desire that comes to anyone who discovers the boundless blessings in the gospel of his whoever discovers this boundless blessings in the gospel of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by right estimation of his gospel and the blessing that it comes, such a person abandons every worldly ambition, enjoyment, hopes in exchange so that he may be able to obtain such blessings that are obtained in the gospel of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The blessings which Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross procured for all sinners who come and believe on him, so that they will also live for him while on this earth. And these things he tells us is hidden. It's like a hidden treasure in his gospel. We have to discover. And if we have found it, and if we are able to estimate things right and compare it with everything in the world, with joy we have to run and embrace and have it, so that we have that treasure which is above every treasure in this world. The air can say, yes, Christopher, sir, they will send me the church. Japadi be a DSCA. Nasa, Japadi, no idea. So, we see a number of brains. Nipa, because of your share. Japadi Kuhusa Ajaya, or Tony Honyomaniana, or Tumia Kotosa Ajaway, na Abelidia. America says, Gusto, a fasa semi de tre or patch where and tear Sonku and Nipa Binya, sir, in Shira, one in San Panimu, San Pasa, or Wuo, Ascendiano, so not in Muja, it's your Boneca. So you are beginning to ensure a bit more banner. Nipo Bums idea will know. Sir, also saw a Yasmu Domania Moa. Not so a worse Moa. Or Pubi Bia and Nita saw a dear two Yasimu, and no more did the boat out yesterday in the Sua or Bravo, Nina or putting at the same time. So which mean Yasa, Inshire, War, Yes Christo, Ne, who are we, or Assembly. So in considering the lessons in the parables, we shall first reflect on this thing. How is the joy of discovering the gospel blessing compared to a treasure? Because Christ says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like, so he's comparing. So how, let us also try to discover the comparison between the treasure hidden, which is valuable, that anyone who finds it will have to want to dispose everything that he has so that he can have it. How is it like the treasure, I mean the gospel blessings? The other kind, you see, I don't mean sir, some of you should say, sir, it's a party, I just see. I say, a slow a Hindi, you know, to say Japadi, JC. And now, you have to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, Japadi, JC, and you're slow. I think JC said, in some part, you better say, or this is true, you show me. You better say, a head here. So again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. You know, when somebody finds a treasure, or at least a precious mineral like gold or diamond or anything, for instance, maybe they are trading in such things, and maybe they were doing exploration on the land, and they find it, they secure the place, and go back and find the owner of the land, and then they will negotiate and buy it. And after they have excavated everything, they're able to get whatever minerals they have. That's how these mining companies do. They will do exploration, and when they're able to determine that they will have enough gold or whatever mineral they want to claim, then they'll purchase it and they'll do proper mining work on the land. So that's the picture we have here. But listen, it's a person doing this thing. And for instance, if a person finds such a precious mineral, what does it do to him? It changes his temporal condition in the world. For instance, if he's a poor person, what happens? He's able to now live for himself, he's able to acquire properties, he's able to have, temporary things of this world which he never had. It's able to settle him. If his education is able to follow, he's about building, whatever he's able to do. So it supplies his wants, and then he can acquire many things which he never had before because of the treasure he has found. Whether gold, when people, our grandfather have died, and along the line we were able to find some of their things they hid, and we find the gold. Normally it brings that joy to people, and then the family is able to transform, physical material things, able to do many things which they never did before. So the thought of improving life situation and the satisfaction the acquisition of the treasure will offer leads the person to be eager to obtain the treasure, because he thinks that when he has it, many things will be well for him. So let's compare it to the gospel. The gospel also supplies lasting and satisfying needs to our souls. The gospel of Christ has a lasting and satisfying needs to our souls. In the gospel is the bread of life, the spiritual food that the soul needs to feed on to eternity. In the gospel, remember when the devil, Satan, tempted Lord Jesus Christ, he said that after Christ was, he has fasted for 40 days and he was hungry. He told him that, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Christ told him that, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. So, Christ is telling Satan that, it's not food that we need. Yes, we need food to live physical, but to live really to eternity is the word of God. So, in the gospel is this provision. In the gospel is where a soul is able to feed on to eternity. The food that we eat, we die, we live it here. But when we are able to have this blessing, the gospel, it stays with us for eternity. The doctrines of the gospel support, preserves, and saves a soul to death, from death. It saves a soul from death. How? It's a gospel that is able to give people hope to live in this world. And the gospel gives assurance that there's life after death. That when people have lived in this world, they have died, and in the day of judgment, they are not going to be condemned. It's the gospel that gives this hope. And it's the gospel only that also tells us that Christ has died. He has offered his blood so that whoever believes in it is saved from the punishment to come, is saved from eternal death, is saved spiritually so that he can live a life that pleases God. The year can say, Yes, sir. 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 Yes, sir E di anye di idye, e di ma yifunam diye ya, da si yewu a yin di diyo. Ne mo mnyami an sem noa, e wo gos, e won sem fane. Anon na se ekra ti mi hune som, e se de re to soa, da ati, e do ti mi a tnase, e wo da yin kwen. Ne ka se en sem fano, e na ti mi e soni pe mu, na e bo e ho bany, na e di e fi o wum, o wu ben, da ati wu a, ni pa be, ya wo be ti ni pe fin ho kwa da fo to bon sa di. Ne sem fano, e ti mi ma di pa ti mi, e ti ni u fi sa, e wo ni mo fi se, e si o wu ya no, di mo ja fi o gwi ma, you ye born in Africa nti say me de bere to ne so a say wo ani Africa e ho no eji me fim so sempai mu na za anyo man ye nya fim. All other teachings of salvation apart from the gospel leads to damnation. Compare which doctrine, which teaching can teach us that we can be saved for eternity? All other teachings about do this and that and that, do good and this and that, and please God and blah blah blah. And the gospel of that tells us that believe on Lord Jesus Christ, rest your hope in Him, and you are saved. You don't need to come with your good works. It doesn't. I mean, it will not work before God. Because all our good works are tainted with sin. It's the gospel alone that's able to teach us these things. When people come to know these things, and they know, oh, you know, it's the gospel alone that also shows there's life after death indeed. Because Christ died and rose up. Before Christ came, maybe philosophers, I mean, world philosophers have been conjecturing. I mean, some are saying there's life after death, some, and they are not even able to come to a conclusion. But the gospel, that tells us that what? There's life after death, and that life doesn't end on this earth alone. It's a parable who said, you will, nipa betinase, si uwa, nipa betuaswa atinase. Ah, nipa betuaswa atinase, nipa betuaswa atinase. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, who here no, or sorry to you, who? And some panel pair and a master, the crow with a dead, am I? So we see that the teaching of salvation that leads to a life and I mean what makes people to be able to save from damnation. In Romans 1:6, the Apostle Paul says that, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is the power of God. You know, these are the people talk about power. Many preachers, this charismatic, they are doing miracles, they are talking of power. Here's the power of God. It's to save a sinner to life, to save a sinner from death. It's not a power to perform miracles. It's a power, this is the power of God. The power of God, that's what brought Jesus Christ from death to life. It's the power that brought Jesus Christ from death to life. And this is the power we are lacking because we don't have it. You don't have it. So the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Not to everyone, everyone that believes. Okay, so we see that by the gospel, the bread of life, and also by the gospel alone is righteousness obtained. The gospel satisfies this inquiry that how can a sinner, yes, I know I'm a sinner, how can I be able to live with God who is holy? And some part of the money who says, ah, may you be born in it's the gospel that tells us how we can. Though sinners as we are, we're able to obtain the righteousness that's able to help us to live with Christ, with God, even now and also in eternity. Without that righteousness, nobody can get close to God. And yet this world will be destroyed one day. Where will you be? If you don't have that righteousness, that will let you be able to live with God. Where will you be? And some panopen I made to me, na ka twene ye no na betumi aboa mane ya kwa atena se ni be mere bin ka betumi sa kwa ise amaye de bon ye ni na me se na pesu de na mane ya kwa atena na me ka se wi ase ya timu da so e be fi wa ko na fi okọ a ni pa ka no afa fọ mo be pa ni so ni pa ka ni ya be kwa ya kwa no na kwa kwa na wu ni sa twene ye ye fọ na dọ ko ni wu timu ni ya kwa ntra. So it's the gospel that tells us about this, how we can obtain it. Because of sin, we are unable to keep God's law. We are guilty before Him. Each law we break piles up our guilt before Him. But when you are saying, you mean to me, you are going to and some of us are this so natural, say, yeah, you mean to me, so. But if you are a different one, James 2:10 tells us, James chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Or say, James 2, verse 10 says, near obedient brand, also, we'll go back to personal. We'll go for any. So, compare it to yourself. Are you able to keep this law? Are you able to rely your hope on the law? Then ask yourself, have I not broken God's law before?
So nobody by his own works can attain righteousness required by God. We all fall short of God's standard. If God should set us by his standards, nobody can rise up. We shall all be defeated. So the gospel gives us hope that yes, you have been defeated, but there's hope. So then this is the necessity of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the necessity of his righteousness, which is found in the gospel. You cannot find it from anywhere. In Romans 5:22, we are told, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. But see, it's that thing you were here, Yakupo Trinaya, and Nam Jedi, where you used to Musun, Pen Eva, and more we beara or Mujidi. So, Canadian, and found you only a beata. Why is that Trinaya Yakupo, Eddie, my wish to Muya? You have no hope, you are hopeless, and you have to go and appear before God alone. But it is the gospel that this treasure is hidden. The righteousness which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel we are able to understand and draw ourselves and rest our hopes in him to obtain this righteousness. So I'm not saying that in the gospel is the real comfort and peace we need. The world is full of troubles, adversities. It comes and we don't know where to turn out. All disappointments and those of you who promise that disappoint us. But who can really be our close friend that we shall be stable in this life, despite all the adversities in this life. The guilt of sin, the anxieties of life, the restlessness of the soul, burdened with the worldly troubles. Where can you have comfort? Where can you have peace? The gospel has all remedies to the disease of the soul. If we ask more, it's me, how we bring. The hair fan, the white pen, the way to me, I will be able to do that. And some pen will pet in a sah, and this and it does one hot or swing. The gospel has all the remedy for sin. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. He said that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Many people are looking for comfort in life. And what they are doing, they are trying to put things up. They are trying to manage their life so that when they become old, they wouldn't have to suffer. Yes, it will give you some support. Those are not lasting support. Those things will be there. And for instance, you have everything in the world and you are sick. How can you even enjoy it? You cannot enjoy it. It's only in Christ when we have found him as our Savior. He worked through his spirit to work in us to not be restless in times of trouble. So that, remember when Stephen was being stoned, he preached Christ and they were stoning him. He looked upon them and said, God should forgive those who were stoning him. He died peacefully, but he was being stoned. That's the kind of peace we need in this world. When troubles come, where do we turn to? Stephen could look at his persecutors and said, God should have mercy on them. Why they are stoning him to death? You and I mean, little insult, then we are angry. But we can only have this peace when we have first come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have come to embrace his salvation, that's what we can have. There's no peace in this world if you don't have Christ. Well, we have done a comparison. Normally, when you in the parables, the usual comparison will not give us the full extent of what the gospel does to us. So we normally contrast and see the deeper things the gospel teaches. So in comparison, we have finished. In contrast, the gospel possesses the treasure of the gospel surpasses all earthly treasures. It surpasses, we cannot be compared with earthly, there's no comparison to that, because it is heavenly, it is spiritual, it is everlasting. It's from above. We took our human nature from the earth. But the gospel brings a new nature to us, which is from God himself, which is not from our parents. It's directly like when Adam was made afresh from the hands of God. And he gives us such blessings. Worldly treasures are obtained from the earth, and they are subject to decay and theft. Whatever we have in our own body is subject to decay. We see as we are growing, we see the decay of the human nature. And if you obtain anything in this world, it can be stolen from you. No matter who you are, it can be stolen from you. Even people are going to the military camps to steal ammunition from there. They are guarding it, but they are going to steal from there. You and I, what can we do? Even if we acquire knowledge so much, still we can even lose, sorry to say, our senses, that all the knowledge we ever acquired will be useless to us, even in this world before we die. So everything, our body is subject to decay. As we are growing up, many things come in and we are dying. So whatever wealth we acquire in this world, at death we leave them behind. We will never take nothing with us. In 1 Timothy 6, 7, we are told, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of this world." We can carry nothing out. And if people should think about this, I'm sure many people will not be troubled so much about life. Because nothing shall we carry out of this world. Whether we have much or less, we shall carry nothing out of this world. So if I bring this stance, I must say, if you ask me, you buy any crashing, if you ask me, so quiet, much or what? Can you bring a more home more brabbling? If you say, if I'm being stance, I'm saying, at death, there is no enjoyment of the things we acquired in this world. Look at a dead man there. Look at his things he has. Is there any enjoyment for him? No, there's no enjoyment for the dead person. Even on the deathbed, go and tell the person about his property. He doesn't want to hear about it because he's dying. What can these things do to me? But yet, we never learn lessons from them because of the world and the love of the world. So nowadays, there have been a lot of excavations of burial sites, like old, big, the great empires and all, and their burial sites. And sometimes they were on earth, some of the tombs. The person is dead already, but you see there's gold, maybe they buried the person with gold and other things. See, the gold and other things are still lying there, but the body is rotten and gone. But the gold is there. You can see, they can retrieve it. You see how it is? Maybe he has so much, you thought they should bury him with some of the gold he has. But he, look at him, the gold is still lying there. The thing maybe he lived in all his life for is lying there. But then, this life is spent and gone. So it's a sad thing. Everything becomes useless after death. Yet the blessings of the gospel cannot be lost or be taken away from you. When you're able to, strive and able to rest your hope on Christ and desire nothing but to have that, nobody can take from you. Forgiveness of sin by the blood of Christ and adoption into God's family is an eternal possession. It's something when God gives you, He will never take from you. Nobody can take from you. When God saves, He saves forever. In John 10, 28, Lord Jesus Christ Himself told us, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." When Christ saves, He saves to eternity. You don't lose it. So to be saved by faith in Christ brings you under the everlasting arms of the all-powerful God. Sometimes I don't get it why people think that I'm saved, he's a Christian, and yet I am I'm in trouble with witches in my family. I'm in trouble with maybe my ancestors. It's nonsense. It has no basis in the Bible. Saved to the arms of God, to the Almighty God of all creation, who in whose hands are all powers, and who can take you from His hand. So I'm wondering, when I'm saved from sin, the power of Satan, the power of the world, everything, because I'm now in the hands of God. If God has so come to die, not just God has come to die for my sin, the sin I cannot do anything about, and He cannot save me from the troubles of life, the powers of darkness. No, it's a joke. He saves and He saves from everything that is able to affect us. And the enjoyment of this salvation gives lasting satisfaction even in this life. When I have Christ, I am able to live. Even if I'm able to live just 15 years, I have the best of life. If I'm able to live 20 years, I have the best of life. It's not me living 100 years in sin. Such life is a wasted life. To live so many years without repentance, without faith in Christ, is a life of waste. It's a waste because at the end of the day, you cannot go and meet Christ. You cannot live with God. And you end up with devil's angels in the lake of fire. In Isaiah 12, verse 3, it tells us that, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Those who have found this treasure in Christ, they with joy they come and draw all the blessings from Christ. Nothing in this world can come. There's a hymn, nothing in this world between my soul and my Savior. Not of its world, this world elusive dreams. Nothing in this world nothing in this world will come in between me and my Savior, my soul, my Savior. Not of this world elusive dreams. Not of anything in this world. Only Christ alone. That is how those who have found these blessings in Christ precious do. They don't just think about it. No, they make it their own. And they don't make anything to come in between. Not entertainment, not pleasure, nothing. Not ambitions, not worldly possessions. If anything comes in competition with my love for Christ, I let it go and I hold on to Christ. This is what we call enjoyment in this life. Because He is able to support us and give us what we are able to. That which can make us happy in this life. So this verse in Isaiah 12 verse 3 pictures, let's say, a weary traveler on a desert in a sunny day who finds a well of water. And what is the picture there? He's refreshed. And even if he has anything that he possesses, he will leave it and run to the water because he's dying of thirst. That's how salvation is. That's how the blessings of Christ are. When we discover it, we leave everything behind and feed and feed and feed. So we are out of this world. Because if we live feeding on Christ, we shall go back to the world. So my question is, will you own this treasure? Have you owned it? Have you found this treasure in the death of Christ that He died to purchase these blessings for you? Have you rested your hope on Him? Or are you living for this world? You must own this. For it is all that every needy sinner needs. That is all that we all need. There's none who doesn't need these blessings from Christ. And when we have found it, we stop searching anything. We stop trying to fill ourselves with vanities of the world. We then live all our lives for Him. So I move on. We have finished the comparison, and I move on. Where is the blessing of the gospel hidden? Because in our text it says that again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto treasure hid in a field. It is likened to a treasure hid in a field. It was hidden in a field. So to have something is to conceal or keep a secret over it. That's what it means. I'm sure we are all aware of that. So firstly, the blessing of the gospel before it was perfectly revealed by Christ was a mystery unknown to everyone, but known to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit alone. It was a mystery. The mysteries of God are only about Christ and His sacrifice and the blessings that it has to sinners. You know, nowadays, some of these false prophets are doing, oh, in terms of, there is a mystery. They can think of, they can imagine things in the spiritual world and come and tell us. No. When the Bible talks of mystery, it's about the gospel of Christ, which was hidden, which even the Jews could not even understand it, which the prophets of old, who prophesied about it, couldn't even grasp how it ought to be. It's about Christ. And now the mystery is what? Open. There's no mystery again. So people will tell you, oh, Hintasem, and I'm sure there's been a radio program called Hintasem, people want to listen. They are telling you things about witches and demons. It's not the Bible mystery. The mystery in the Bible is about Christ and His gospel, where we have to discover for ourselves. And as I said, the prophets of old who prophesied about these things were not having a perfect knowledge about it. They didn't know how God can come into the flesh. God is holy. How can He come and take human flesh and die for sin? They couldn't, comprehend it. And they didn't understand exactly how it would be. So the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:10 that they were what? Scrutinizing the things they were even prophesying to see how it would be. In 1 Peter 1:10, we are told, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you, searching what on what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. This was a mystery they couldn't understand, that Christ should come and suffer and the glory that will come after it. Because in their lifetime, Christ was not coming. So they could. So we, in our time, are blessed with better sight of the gospel of Christ himself than those who spoke about them for us. Again, in Colossians 1, 26 and 27, we are told about the same mystery again. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Saints are believers. Those who Christ have saved and washed with his own blood. Saints are not just dead, believers. Saints, if you are saved, then you are saints. For the, it says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Israelites thought they only may have salvation, but the Apostle is telling that this mystery was even hidden with them, that they didn't even know that the blessings of Christ will come to the Gentiles, even us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, how did Christ come to live in us? When we come to believe on him and he forgives us our sins, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. This is Christ in us. This is the mystery that God can come and live in human beings. He can come and live in us and dwell with us. It's a mystery. And yet, every believer is an illustration of this mystery. So there's no mystery that is hidden that somebody should tell us. So it was hidden with God alone before the foundation of the world, but now it has been revealed. And it was also hidden somewhere along the line. Secondly, the blessing of the gospel was concealed in types and shadows in the Old Testament time by the sacrificial system which God instituted after the fall. So the animal sacrifices were also a cover. It was representing what Christ was to come and do. In Hebrews 10, what we are told, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered yearly by year continually make the commandment unto perfect. The good things to come were the blessings of salvation, which is by faith in Christ's sacrifice for sin on the cross of Calvary. This is what was hidden in those sacrifices. So that the offerer who comes to offer a sacrifice, he looks upon the animal, one goat, a scapegoat, and one is burnt. This was all standing in for what Christ was coming to do. So whoever does that sacrifice by faith, God accepts that person. He forgives that person. Remember the sacrifice of Abel. He sacrificed and God had respect unto his sacrifice. So now all of us who now read or hear about this gospel, the testimony of Christ's sacrifice for sin, this mystery is revealed to us. We are facing it. And now we are aware of the blessings. But what is left for us? The question will be, how do we take possession of it? Now that we are aware, like somebody who finds a treasure, he has to go around and find the owner. He can't just take possession. You go and find maybe the family who owns the land and do paperwork and own it. So where will we do our paperwork for the blessings of the gospel of Christ? How can we own them? How can they be mine? It's the Bible that teaches us how we can own this for ourselves. So my next thing, how do we possess the blessings of the gospel? Well, our text tells us again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides it. Even this man hides it. So it's like he keeps it. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. He keeps it and goes trying to sell all his properties, and then so he can have the amount that he calls to come and buy it. This person with joy, and it is with joy. So the one who finds treasure, we are told, sells everything. He buys it with joy. So it implies that he exchanged what he possessed before. No matter how advantageous it was to him, no matter how useful it was to him, no matter how comforting it was to him, he sells everything. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to own them again. He's willing and happy to forgo them, and for joy thereof, go ahead and sell less and what? All that he has, and buy the field. So you also, if you must have this possession, sin must be given up. Love for sin, love for the world, love for things God hates, must be given up. There must be what? A repentance. There must be a forsaking of sin before salvation can be possessed for your soul. Before you can have these blessings pouring into your soul, the comfort, the forgiveness, eternal life, eternal joy, the hope of heaven, before God can pour this into your soul. You must repent and forsake everything that displeases God. That is what we have to do. We have to let them go. We have to sell them off. We have to let them depart from us. Then we can own Christ and Christ alone. Pleasures derived from sin are all vain. They satisfy us just for a small time. Satisfy one last today, tomorrow the same last will come again. Satisfy this demand today, tomorrow it will come again. And you continue satisfying them, enjoying them, enjoying them. And what does it do? It entraps the soul and leads the soul to damnation. In Ezekiel tells us something about those who, sin have become a stumbling block for them. He says that they shall not satisfy their souls, though they seem to satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity. The things that we have tried to hedge and put around to make us happy, it is a stumbling block of our iniquity. These things will never lead us to God. It will always prevent us. Like you have a wall you want to cross, you always hit it. Sin is a stumbling block to these blessings to our soul. Salvation is not obtained by anything we have or do. In Psalm 49, verse 7, we are told, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. For a soul to be redeemed is precious. And it's not anything that we do that can acquire it. It's something that has to be obtained with a higher precious thing than our soul. And that's what Christ is, the life of Christ. Our souls are full of sin. His is full of what? Righteousness. So that his is precious. So we ought to own that so that we can have liberty for our souls. Your good manners, people sometimes, because how they are brought up, they are not outwardly bad, they are disciplined. People also are good church attendants. They go to church, pay their tithes and offerings. They try to do something for the church. They are some obedient to the laws of the church. But all these things can never secure anyone's salvation. Whatever I do can never secure myself. Either in religion or in secular life can never secure salvation for my soul. Some people will say, when you do a philanthropic work, oh God will bless you. Yes, a good work to help the weak and the poor, but that will never secure a person's salvation. All will be damned and lost before Christ's righteousness. It will never become, it can never match up to him. But you know, falsely and sadly, that's what many people claim for salvation. They strongly build their hopes of salvation on these things. And they are ignorant of the fact that all our works are filthy rags before God. Whatever we do is nothing before God. And yet people go to church, they are somehow Christians, building their hopes on the fact that they do something for God, and God should be happy with them. God is never happy with a sinner. He's always angry with him. The Lord Jesus Christ cautions, and he said that in John 6:27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man, as himself, shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. Except you have labored to rest your hope on Christ, except you have repented and left everything and come to Christ. This is the labor you have to. Don't labor by doing something to please God. We labor to own what Christ has done by leaving the things behind, things that are sins that are weighty on us. We labor to put them off and ask grace to rise up and come to the cross. And there, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that is where he that God has foreseen for our salvation. It is in him alone we have the warrant to be saved. It is in his righteousness alone that we have what it takes to obtain these blessings which are hidden in the gospel of our dear Savior. The only price that God has set for salvation is the blood of Christ. That is only that which is precious in his sight. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the full price for sin when he took to the cross and died there. In Colossians 1:14, in whom, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. This is redemption. Again, people talk about deliverance. Or, where would we have it? We have it in the blood of Christ. It's not the blood of Christ that some prophet will stand there and tell you, come, I have the blood of Christ, come out. No, by faith on him. Christ died 2,000 years ago. Nobody has his blood physically. And I remember some time ago, on the station, we met a Muslim. I think we were telling him that the blood of Christ is able to pay all the sins of the world. He said, but Christ died, his blood was so small, how can he pay all the sins of the world? So, and we told him, no, it's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. It's faith on him that does that to us. So, it's not anything, it's the blood of Christ. Some prophet today will do radio program. Oh, come, we have the blood of Christ. It is here we can have deliverance from witches. It's so sad. We have in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. When sins are forgiven, we are free from all troubles. So by faith in Christ, we come to possess these blessings in the gospel, forgiveness of sin, Christ's righteousness, all the privileges of the children of God. We call it adoption. We are brought into Christ, God's family. God is making children. He's bringing and stamping the image of Christ on them. And those of us who come, he justifies us. Can I read to you Romans chapter 8, verse 29? I think that will tell us what God is doing now. For Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, when you come to Christ, and God justifies you, make you righteous by the blood of Christ, what does he do? He justifies you, and what does he do? He prepares you for glory. You are the one who is going to inherit eternal glory with him. So my last thought is that, will you repent if you have not done so of sin and possess these lasting blessings? It's a serious matter which all of us have to think through. Because whatever we do, whatever sin we think, whatever thing we do that we think is lovely and satisfying, which is sin, Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, the wages of whatever we think we are doing to please God, we are rather going to take our wages for it because it's in sin. It doesn't please him. Look at Nicodemus coming to Lord Jesus Christ in the night because of this blessing. He hid himself. He came. He was a teacher of the Pharisees. He was, a religious man. He came in the night to come and seek this blessing of Christ. Look at Zacchaeus. He has to climb a tree to see Christ. And when he found Christ, what did he say? Those that have cheated, I'm going to give the money to them. He doesn't want to own his properties again. He wants to give them off so that he can have Christ. Oh, Simeon, when Christ was born, you know what he said? He said, now that my eyes have seen the Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. He has grown old. But when he saw Christ has been born, and that the promises of God have been fulfilled, that there's salvation for sinners, he said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, because I've seen peace. This is the desire we ought to have. What have we to lose if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? We lose the rags of sin, and we obtain the robe of righteousness. Our rags of sin is taken away. He gives us royal robe to become his saint. We lose our temporal happiness for eternal one. So that is what Christ, when you come to him, you find. So, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is where the blessings are. So will you also come, if you have not come to him, and rest your hope in him for salvation? That is only where. Come, pleasing his blood. You come to him asking him, for his blood alone can save from sin. His blood alone that God accepts for the payment of our sins. May the Lord help us as we think on these things, and we weigh them as this man who found the treasure was happy, was joyous, to let celebrate it so that he can obtain it. May each one of us have this joy, and let us come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and own these blessings for ourselves. Shall we pray together?